The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was read with special emphasis on the last verse, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have kept us in life and faith to this time, and we pray now that the Holy Spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ, will be with us to help us to understand the meaning of your word for our time, and to help us to boldly make known Christ to those of our generation. In his name we pray, amen. In an effort to understand the compassion of Christ and his passion in this season, I looked to several challenging case studies. One of a farmer in the edge of the floodplain on the Mississippi who knows all of the threats of the rains of the past season, plus faces the pathos of life in the having two children, the death of his son-in-law, leaving his daughter with two teenage children. And here, to live as Christ comes into that situation, the church has a good youth program, and those teenagers and their mother are helped, and they're carried right on with a positive attitude in life. And then his only other child, a son, serious cancer, effective surgery, and again, he can say, with a positive outcome, to live is Christ. And then, with heavy debt and the threatening crop, he finds that he can sell off some of the land and pay the debt and make it through that, to live is Christ. And again, he comes into the threatening situation of his prized dairy cow. Sick, he could lose this, and that would be a great loss to him. He stays up late at night with that sick cow, which can no longer get up. He prays to God, goes to bed with exhaustion, and comes back in the morning, and the cow is standing and healthy. And I talk to him about it, and he's convinced that God has heard his prayer and is seeing him through. To live is Christ. And he knows in his own sinful life with his weaknesses that he needs, as St. Paul says in the third chapter of this book, faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ to forgive his sins in his own interpersonal relationships with all of the frustrations, stress that human beings are facing. And then too, in a congregation where I had contact and had a worship service at night, this woman and her husband, there's been stress in the family, and now she's facing cancer surgery. After the worship, she comes up for private communion with her husband. And we pray that this power of God and strength of God in this sacrament will not only be something that will bring peace, reconciliation to the family, but peace in her life, and that here God will touch their needs, grace in time of needs, as the writer to Hebrews says, and give skills and wisdom to the medical team, the surgeon who will be helping her. Later she comes back to church after she's home from the hospital and healed. And now instead of crying as she was that night as we looked forward to this fearsome thing, she is laughing and she's happy and grateful to God. The removal of the breast and the cancer, she says, that's cosmetic. That doesn't mean anything to me. In her life now, it was to be alive, to live is Christ for her, to magnify Christ in her life. And we find here in St. Paul's experiences a trend of experiences which lead to the point where he gives us a strategy to face these fearsome things. First of all, the deceivers who wanted the guards to say that someone stole away the body of Jesus. And Paul followed that exclusive lie and deception in persecuting Christians and denying the resurrection of Jesus, and then Jesus appears to him. The risen Christ, who wasn't supposed to have risen from the dead, appears to him. And then in the jail at Philippi, and now he's chained to the Praetorian Guard, one after another in the work shift. Can you imagine what he's telling those guards? The power and the love of God, greater than this empire. These fellows were also facing problems in their lives. The rapes and abductions of their daughters, the problem of marriage, fear of facing death in battle. Now, here was the love and the power of Christ. And then, that jailer at Philippi. And here, they are jailers. And God's power came into that experience. So they're attracted to go along with this philosophy of life, this faith in the righteousness of Christ. To live is Christ. And then Paul can't understand why within the body of Christ itself in the church there should be these selfish people who would chafe his affliction, chafe those wounds by the chains on his chains of imprisonment on his arms. They would add to his affliction by criticizing him. He can't understand this. There's enough evil in the storms on the Mediterranean, the serpent bite, the wild beast, the deceivers, and those who want it, by the meaning of the Greek word, to tear his bowels out in his trial at Jerusalem. And he says, I will want to go to Caesar. And here he is with Caesar. And in that situation, he asks this question, an idiom in Greek, tigar. What for? Why this? Within the church itself, should people be adding a negative burden to us? And he goes on and says, in spite of it, of any motives, Christ is proclaimed, and when Christ is proclaimed, I will rejoice. I rejoice, and I will rejoice, and we will rejoice. And the strategy then, is it life or death, is pray for my deliverance and my salvation. Pray for me. Sincere prayer. You pray for the name of the person. I pray for the people by name, one by one. Pray for me, sincere prayer. By that and a supply of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, I will be delivered. I will be saved, life or death. And for this, I have eager expectation. The meaning is I stretch out my neck to look over, around, or beyond these obstacles that I face at this time. And I have hope. That's my response. Sincere trust, eager expectation that God will help me, that we are in a real relationship with the all-powerful God in the compassion of Jesus Christ. To live is Christ. And we could ask ourselves this question as he spontaneously blurts it out, talking to himself and to the Philippians at the same time. Tigar, how now are we going to face these obstacles in our efforts to proclaim Christ? We encounter it too. We're starting a mission in a town. Two of the other congregations have left. They have merged or left. They no longer have services, but they put in the bylaws that these buildings, these nice buildings they had, could never be used for religious purposes. Tigar. Why? We could have used one of them. So we have to settle for something less. And Christ is blessing these people who are announcing him to the unchurched of the community. And for this, we rejoice and will rejoice because it keeps going on. And we know how important prayer is, sincere prayer. So we're 200 miles away from the mission. We go there and it's a little old town hall, dark walls, low ceiling, little kitchenette in the back, a kind of a stage in that little room where they would have their town meetings. So I'm back there in that kitchenette. And back of there is a little room with football helmets. So the kids of the neighborhood would use those in the fall to play football. They use it, the building, for storage. And in the other part, the fire engines. So I'm back in that little kitchenette praying. God, if there are any people we can help in this community, we pray that they'll find their way there. We got a little sandwich board about a half hour before church with a sign on by the road. So we pray. That's what Paul wanted to do. That if he would be saved in this situation, have the opportunity to be alive and to make Christ known, that he could advance the faith and the joy of these Philippians. His life was in Christ for others. And so we pray. And the people come. We make Christ known. And we rejoice, and we will rejoice. God hears our prayers. And finally, we come up against the greater question, that last part of this statement, this memorable statement of Paul in this 21st verse of first chapter of Philippians, to die is gain. Tigar. And what does this mean? And to answer that, I encounter the third case study of the human pathos in relationship to the passion and compassion of Jesus Christ. It's that of this 33-year-old mother of four children, the pastor's wife in Wilshire, Ohio, former student. And you know the account so far. Yesterday morning, severe headaches. The cancer has reached her brain, incoherent. And now the little children. First of all, she's about three now, Hannah. She had said before, because paradise and heaven are so wonderful, how come mommy can go there first? Tigar. And yesterday morning, when her mother has these severe headaches, pains, and now, so far, the children have been able to endure the thought of separation from their mother because mommy is still with them. And now, the nurse has to be there. The second grader and the fourth grader go to school. Their reaction is that they're quiet. To be quiet in the presence of death is a loud response. And soon, mommy will be silent in death. And that's the largest sound that the human being can tolerate. Now little Hannah asks, knowing that there will be separation and she can't be with her mommy here, can I go with mommy? Underscore the preposition with. To be with Christ. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. To live is Christ. And here she helps us understand. To die is gain. Amen.